I'm just gonna attack whatever's nearest me.
Bar fight.
Not it.
It's the beginning of your campaign. You gotta do it.
That's right. Okay, you meet in a bar now. So we're back for episode 6 of Curse of Strahd, Tatiana's Revenge, classic. A Dungeons and Dragons adventure using Zweihänder Grim and Perilous RPG. Where we last left off, you were speaking with Lord Marcus, and he told you his sad tale of his sister, Ileana, who apparently is the devil's bride, and now rules in his stead from Castle Ravenloft, that he was a part of the group that dispatched the devil originally, and the mist had been gone for 3 months and had returned.
Yeah, Mike, here's simple logic. You never tell the brother you're going to kill his sister.
Hey, no table talk.
Have you ever...
That's right.
I mean, if we're doing a little
I
table
do
talk.
Have a spell that we can use to kill his sister. It's called Sister Killer.
Perhaps I should read you my
it's called Dispel Sister.
No? Okay.
Yeah, you should look up the Funerary Mage Drawback sometimes. It's
okay. Yeah.
Alright. But,
what is the Funerary Mage Drawback?
Okay,
it's called Purple Temperament. Rumors persist that Funerary Mages are nothing more than necromancers in disguise, seeking both paths to find the truth to unlife. Given this unsavory and unfair reputation, it's no wonder the Funerary Mages are curt, grim, and detached from the rest of the world. They do not make friends easily, nor are their words ever seen as friendly, given their grave nature. Effect. You never critically succeed fellowship-based skills, even if you roll a match. In addition, you cannot take advantage of talents, traits, magic, or fortune points to modify any fellowship-based skill test. So they're the worst.
They're literally the worst.
They're literally the worst.
They're from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
They hang out.
They're
in the
terrible
bar.
People.
They hang out in the bar.
That's right. But in this case, crypts.
Yeah,
because we're not really necromancers, but maybe we are.
They have a special bathroom.
That's right. That's pretty damn funny. Okay. The season finale, by the way, was awesome.
Yeah. I need to pick that show.
I need to rewatch.
We should probably get back to yours.
I only got a little bit of time.
So. You were still with Lord Marcus. Mm-hmm. You kind of learned of his sad tale.
excuse me, gentlemen and lady. I believe that we've discussed this enough, and perhaps we should move along at least for perhaps setting down for the night, or if any of the other of us need any... less specialized attention. I know that I could use a bit of assistance as well.
Are you looking to Lord Marcus?
Yes.
For what? I'm sorry. I'm a little unclear.
For medical attention.
Oh, you need help too?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. He will attend to any who need it. Go ahead and roll percentile dice. What's your current damage condition track?
Moderately wounded.
Moderately, nice. So it's going to be a 65% chance. Sorry, 75.
75. 58 will succeed.
Okay. You have one step on the damage condition track.
Awesome. So I wish to thank you for your time, Lord Marcus.
Okay. He nods. You're welcome to bed down here for the evening. I'm sure Bill would not take... Would be very welcoming. There's chambers upstairs. Hmm. Private chambers, if you wish. Shared chambers down below. It is up to you. You're welcome to stay here and drink, he says, as he kind of motions toward the tankards of alcohol all over the table.
How does money work here? Doesn't seem to be a foreign concept. I just want to make sure that we're... I don't want to take advantage of...
What little good... What value money has here is questionable, I suppose you could say. We're simply all trying to look out for one another. The those who are, for lack of a better term, are in for themselves, may charge you a coin or two here and there, but nobody will bite a lash if you drop a few coins in their hand. Most do it simply out of charity.
Okay. We just, I mean, our land is of coin.
It represents hope. The idea that someday they'll be able to trade it with others again. And this hope apparently clings together like fine metal. I have no problem giving mine in exchange. Fat lot of good it does me here anyway.
That's what I was meaning more than anything.
So will you bed down here for the night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see how we have much choice.
I mean, do we pass a couple silvers across?
A couple shilling, if you wish.
Yeah.
Do you like?
Yeah.
He will nod and smile.
Does he stay here, too?
Staying downstairs.
Nobody's going anywhere tonight.
He already nailed the door shut. He's not going anywhere.
I was asking whether he went in his own room or he stayed there. Just drank
his downstairs drinking right now.
I pass him 2 shilling.
You know,
pizza.
There's no fire to be had here. It's way too hot outside. In fact, it's pretty warm in here, inside this building, the Blood of the Vine. The windows are shuttered closed. Literally shuttered closed from the inside, not the outside. The door is barred not once, but thrice. And 3 nails have been driven into the threshold. Not to drive the door, not to hammer the door shut, but just put above the threshold. There's tiny bent nails. 3 of them. Paint their heads, painted with red enamel. Your rest is uneasy. All of you need to make a routine resolve test. You need not make a test, Mortimer, because you are suffering from fever.
Yeah, I figured I failed.
You fail instantly. I got a swap here. What do I get to swap?
Do you think the ghosts sit around their campfires and tell human stories?
In such a place as this, yes.
Yeah, me too.
What was it? Standard? Mm-hmm.
Toast.
15.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I lost it.
Anyway. Oh, 8.
Standard for me. It is a
4.
So success.
Okay. Crit success.
Okay. Those who succeeded will be recovered to Imperil.
Imperil, that's right.
Crit success. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Sorry, not Imperil. Unhindered.
Nice.
Crit success, you're also unhindered. Unfortunately, when you awaken the next day, you see that Morty looks... He's got these kind of dark bags beneath of his eyes. He has been coughing. He looks kind of... peckish, his skin is flushed, he's sweating, he's clearly taken by filth fever.
Oh, he got infected by my stuff?
No. You, Morty.
Oh, me, sorry.
Yeah. Morty. Your name is Morty.
I'm sorry, what? Obviously, he's not in it, he's out of it.
I failed my role.
You failed? You simply go to imperil.
No more adventures, Morty.
No more adventures, Morty.
You need what's the hurry? Time doesn't mean anything in this place. If we have to take another day, we take another day. So,
he's in no shape to travel, and maybe it's time to take our learned leader's thoughts here. If you want to learn?
Are we alone in the
room?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. You've not come downstairs yet. You're just now kind of rousing from bed. You had to break your fast.
Something I'm speaking lowly, but speaking up for the microphones. Something I would like to impress upon all of us, including myself. It's probably not best to go about talk of murdering someone's sister right in front of them.
It was all theoretical.
Yes, even though it's theoretical, I do believe that if someone wanted to murder one of your family members, in theory, it probably would not be best to talk about it when they first meet you.
Well, he did say she was a right asshole. In so many words.
Even so, I do not believe that your brother or my brother would wish to hear someone saying, you know, maybe we could kill them.
Well,
no, you just rub their back and then do it.
My brother isn't a bride of a.
Well, if you said that about my
devil
brother
or whatever,
this room is very stuffy.
If you said that about my brother, I would take up arms against you. You're correct.
Okay, I won't talk anymore.
No,
Morty, that's not it.
It's not that you shouldn't talk about it. It says you shouldn't talk about it under certain circumstances. And do any of you recall how the Vistani that we originally met called the people here that lived here Vistani?
No.
They did. And that they did not trust anyone who didn't move.
That was Valaki. The Vistani of Valaki.
So everyone here in the town is not to be trusted.
They did say that.
And then everyone in the town says that you can't trust the Vistani. No one trusts anyone. We get it.
That's what I'm getting at. And therefore, it probably means that both people are somewhat trustworthy and both people are somewhat untrustworthy. And what is best to do would probably be to take them at face value. And then we formulate opinions later. So when they're saying something, take note of what they're saying, and then we'll discuss it later. For everyone in their own mind is a good person. Yeah. I'm sure even the devil himself believes he's good.
Moreover, the streets were completely quiet when you passed in, save for the wailing of a woman somewhere within the village, kind of cutting through the silence. But looking through the gray, kind of dirty windows, you could see a single hunched figure dressed and bundled in rags, pushing a rickety wooden cart through the fog with his wooden wheel kind of rolling across the damp cobblestones. It's the only soul you've seen here, save for Bill and for Lord Marcus.
It's getting rather stuffy in here. I think I'm going to get some air.
I'll go with you.
Perhaps those good at talking should talk to her.
Let's take a look around.
Walk out into the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the time you come downstairs, Lord Marcus is gone, as is Bill. There's no one in here.
I go over.
Doors just standing open?
Quiet as a crypt. Yes.
I walk over to the bar and take some alcohol.
Okay.
A few bottles of spirits.
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead and take it.
yeah.
Breakfast of champions there.
I want two for the road.
Your stomach grumbles a bit, but you find that Bill was kind enough to hastily scribe in a note from me to you, Bill. And it's beside a spot of plate of biscuits.
I take one and walk outside, eating as I walk along.
Did I see him steal from the man who's feeding us? And
oh, yeah.
You are such a cur.
I'll also grab one of the biscuits. Gotta eat.
Into the street you go of Barovia, and the cobbles are damp and wet. There is light to be had, but the mist seems to betray its origins. And it seems to be coming from beyond the buildings. The buildings are, it's deathly quiet here. You can see this figure kind of knock on the door. And she has what looks like a box underneath of her arms. And this small boy kind of comes to the door. And you can see this woman's hand kind of stretch out, kind of urging him out into the street. She kind of, her hand gingerly grabs the top of the box and opens it. And you can almost literally smell the pastries kind of within the box. You almost see the heat coming off of it. The smell of the confectionery and sugar and strawberries is kind of invigorating. So strikingly in contrast to this place of death. The boy reaches his hand into the box, and the woman kind of bundled up, kind of takes two steps backwards, kind of luring the boy down until he comes into the street. She places the box of confectionaries on the cobblestone, and the little boy turns around to reach in and grab one. And at this point, you could see the woman reach in her cart. She pulls up this burlap sack, and she snatches the boy from his neck, picks him up, and shoves him inside the bag, and draws the string tight.
I will. We're definitely going to interfere on that, right?
Pull my sword and start moving towards her.
Okay.
Drop that lad.
You draw your sword, as in with the... almost as if she kind of heard the sword kind of softly slink from inside of its sheath. She kind of turns around. You can see her, all these heavy rags all over, and these long, skinny hands. She throws the boy into the wheelbarrow, leaving the confectionaries in the street, and begins scrambling away at top speed down the cobblestone, with the boy kind of caught inside the bag, running away, run away, run away, she says, kind of cackling as she's disappearing into the streets.
I'm gonna throw my throwing knives at her.
Oh, okay.
Right in the back.
That doesn't feel that morally repugnant to me, honestly. She did, like, steal a child.
Kidnapped a kid.
Yeah.
I'll start giving chase, but...
I have a hard time finding feeling too bad. Yeah, we're definitely going to run after.
Okay. Give me one moment here.
Ba, 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 ba.
You draw your... as quick as you were to steal two flasks of whiskey, you really draw a knife and throw it that direction. Still, he's still clutching on to the bottles in one hand as he throws the knife in the other. She is 9 yards away.
Okay.
And we're starting on your turn.
All right.
Oh, God.
So the distance on these things is 1 plus perception bonus, so that's 7 for me. So she's a little bit too far away for me to actually...
That's
within
right.
Range.
Just
so
throwing.
I'll have to draw, run, then throw.
Okay, so you throw. See that Nigel draws a knife and begins hustling toward her and then throws the blade. Roll strike, it's trivial. Or sorry, easy.
Okay. So my chance to succeed is 80%, and I roll a 42.
Okay. You throw the knife. And as you throw, she kind of looks over her shoulder. She's walking, running away like this. And she kind of clicks her heels together and quickly tries to duck out of the way of the knife you've thrown, dodging. Her chances are 55%. That's a 49. The knife clatters along the cobblestone as she... the narrow misses. Who you have? That's all your action points at this point. Stop! Stop! Dr. Wolf, it's your turn.
At least it prevents her from running away as quickly as she would otherwise.
What are you going
to do? She said 9 yards away?
She is 9 yards away.
All right. I have a movement of 6. So I will take 2 move actions or to run up to the wheelbarrow.
You hustle that direction.
And I will grab the sack with the boy, like, out of the wheelbarrow.
Okay. You grab a hold of it and try to hoist the boy over your shoulder.
Deadlift a kid.
That's right. Go ahead and make an athletics test.
All right.
This test is going to be easy. I know your brawn is. No! It's going to be a challenging test for you.
Okay, it's a challenging test?
Yes.
All right. 43 chance. I got an 8, so I...
But some people may not... realize about Dr. Wolf is that she is built like a brick house.
Yeah, she is.
Short and brawny. She hoists the boy over her shoulder with ease in the sack still.
What the hell is wrong with you? I will yell at the woman.
As you scream at her, you can see this. You're close enough to almost feel the heat or I should say, both feel the heat and smell her rancid breath, like the smell of somebody who hasn't brushed her teeth ever. The smell of halitosis. Her breath is so horrendous. As she turns towards you, oh, you instantly begin to, your eyes almost water from it, as you need to make a test, you need to resist versus awareness.
All right.
To withstand getting sick.
All right.
This test is routine for you.
All right, 52% chance. I failed.
Okay. You recoil in horror, taking one step back. Oh! The smell is so horrible. And you get a good look at her face, and you can see that this woman is very, very old. Her face is kind of, her skin is hanging off of her skull, or off her cheekbones, rather. Her eyes are kind of gleaming blue. They're kind of like very, very bright blue eyes with wiry hair. And she kind of recoils as you come close. No! Don't hurt me! She says as her fingers are kind of like all moving like such. Kind of like they're just kind of independently moving up on their own accord. Almost like small worms as she's kind of recoiling away from you. She's fallen onto both knees and is kind of, ah! Please don't hurt me! She says.
What is wrong with you? Why would you steal this child?
She simply kind of like, no, please, please, kind of scraping away, like trying to push her way backwards, like trying to kind of keep her distance from you.
I think I would start answering questions around this time. What is it you intend?
I was to take him back to the bone grinder, she says.
The bone grinder?
The devil's strong would have him, Lucien.
Why?
This village owes me a boy, she says.
Why?
You look toward the house where he came out of, and there are no... You don't see his parents in the street. The boy was promised to me, she says, almost kind of like snapping out toward you. Promise to me!
Who makes such a promise?
Lucian's parents.
This boy's parents promised?
They promised the boy to me. So they give me the boy.
In exchange for what?
To not take their life.
I'll unwrap the sack while we're talking.
The boy drops to the ground. He's weeping, crying, kind of grasping at the sides of your clothes, like this weeping endlessly. You all kind of collect around at this point.
It's all right.
So you did not, you took him so that in exchange for their lives.
The parents promised Lucien to me. I come to collect. He wouldn't come out if it wasn't for those pastries.
Correct, and the price was in exchange for their lives.
That's right, she says.
Well, I wish to extend you the same offer. You give him to us, and you'll keep your life.
No, please don't hurt me. Please, I'm so sorry, she says, quickly changing position.
We already... All right, Lucien, I want you to run inside, and I want you to bolt that door. And I want you to not eat anything there. As delicious as those are, do not eat those. Will you promise me that?
You see that, well, the box of confectionaries are further up the street.
That's where his house is there.
Oh, that's where I was going. Yes. I mean, just some sort of deja vu with an older character makes me go straight for the confectionaries.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to run home, and I want you to not eat those confectionaries, okay? I want you to run back to your house. I don't want you to see what happens here, okay? You're too young for that.
He nods.
Bolt your door.
You want to take the box?
Oh, yeah. Like...
On the side, it says... Morgantha's magic pastries.
Magic.
It's a little wooden plaque on the outside of the box.
Morgantha's magic pastries.
Mm-hmm. What a strange place this is.
The inside of the box has a little placard that says 1 shilling. That fixed on the inside of it.
Should we march this creature to the gallows?
Well, hold on a second. This is... rather brazen, wouldn't you say, stealing a boy in broad daylight?
Broad daylight? She kind of cackles. He wouldn't come out.
No.
Well, yeah, no one in their right mind would come out in the night in this time.
We have two choices. I take her head off, or we take her to the gallows and hang her.
No, please, she says.
Woman, you have no...
I'll do anything, she pleads.
Who sent you here?
I came on my own accord, she calls out once again.
And what...
Where are the parents now?
The bones have been ground. Dust, she says.
Wait, so you murdered the parents even though they exchanged their boy for their life?
I didn't murder the parents. They gave themselves to the old bone grinder, she says.
So they exchanged their boy's life with you for their own, and yet they still gave themselves to the bone grinder?
Who am I to question the bone grinder? What happens to them? What happens to them without my own accord? I did nothing to bring harm to them. They promised the boy in exchange for their lives. I gave them their lives, and they were giving me the boy. But they died.
Did they eat any of your confectionaries?
No, she says.
So what good is a boy to you? What need have you of him?
I am not a fan.
We always need a boy to serve at the bone grinder. Bella and Ophalia are getting so old in their age. They can't sweep the floors as they once did. They can't clean the bones betwixt the millstones. The boy would have been perfect. His small, tiny fingers to stitch up clothing, to sweep the floors.
Why in the world are you grinding up bones?
For confectionaries.
Gelatins.
Yeah. And put them back on the ground.
As I thought.
Close the lid.
Jellies.
I think she meant to feed the kid his own parents.
The pastries smell very sweet.
What is it? We take the creature's head or we drag it to the gallows and hang it?
Well,
they made a fair trade! I have a contract! She says,
I don't care about your contracts.
The contract is binding, she says.
Does not bind me.
You would break a contract?
Do you have this contract?
The contract is back at the bone grinder.
Well, where is this bone grinder?
I do not break contracts. I do not make contracts. I do not trust you. I will not follow you to your lair.
Tis to the west, south of Valky, she says. Come to the bone grinder. See the contract. I can assure you it's all on the up and up. It's perfectly legal.
Point to it on this map.
You produce the map. It is south of Valaki. It looks like a big windmill.
It's here! Bone grinder?
His parents made a deal with Bella and Ophalia. That they would give them their lives if they would give up the child.
Do you take orders from Bella and Ophalia?
They are my sisters!
So I have one thing to say about your contract. A contract is null and void if their lives are gone.
No such thing exists in a contract. I've read it a million times, she says.
If you've written it a million times, you can recite it.
Well, I don't know it off the top of my head, she says, kind of taking a few steps back.
So then I give her the same choice as I've said. Die in the street or hang at the gallows.
The devil Strahd ensures all contracts are binding. Break the contract and suffer his curse.
Okay.
I believe we already suffer his
curse. I think
we
already are suffering that here. We're here in this land dealing with you.
Mortimer, you hear this voice in your head. Mortimer. That knowing, fatherly voice calling from somewhere.
So I have a question. The contract is between you and the parents. The parents are dead.
Ophelia and Bella maintain the contracts. They can tell you it's bylines.
I don't, 'tis
bound in blood by the parents.
Is there any fire around here?
Don't burn me, she says. Not fire!
We're going to kill you. We're going to do it in a humane way, such as gallows or straight running you through.
I would say burn her corpse until we know the truth. And she cannot take any more children.
Woman! You hear call from down the street. Be gone with you! Be gone with you, Mogantha! You see Lorne Marcus step out into the street.
What is this creature?
He's carrying what looks like a heavy shillelagh. Don't touch her! Let her go! Let her go! Mogantha, go back from whence you came!
You just try to steal a child.
Let her go! Don't take her life, trust me!
We should do as the Lord says in his land.
I was close to her. She has some sort of foul stench to her. I think he's right.
Burn her, then.
She's a disease.
Burn her and her cart. That's what you do with witches.
So you now have a choice. This is one of those critical moments in the game where you are now faced with what you feel is right and what may be right for here. So the question is, above board, by a raise of hands, you want to kill her? Raise your hand. It's very simple.
Burn her. Not even a question in my mind. I have the steward's blessing. You burn a witch.
That's true. I only have to, I have two. It's black and
it
white.
It makes perfectly sense where you, it makes perfect sense where you're coming from. But I think that
you get to raise your hand whenever you want.
Sure,
I'm a burner.
All right, but I'll wait for the voting. The other choices. The other choice to
so kill her or let her go. Are the two choices.
Oh, let her go.
Let her go.
Saying let her go.
Trickery. Always trickery. I always vote for trickery, which means I can't get anything out of her. She's dead.
Okay.
She's useless to me. Alive, it's an asset that we can manipulate.
So you do want to kill her?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Alive, she's an asset that we can manipulate.
Okay.
Dead, she is not.
Benedict.
Let her go for now and kill her later. So yes, let her go.
You can always kill her later.
Well, she serves no more use to. No, of course.
Woman, next time I see you, I will burn you.
I make sure she does not take the cart with her.
Yeah, that's
I'll be back, Lorne Marcus, and I will have that child.
She says, kind of recoiling, kind of backpedaling in the cobblestone streets. You haven't heard the last of Mogantha! She says as she turns about and begins scampering away, disappearing into the mist. Marcus kind of drops his club to the ground and sighs heavily.
Why wouldn't you let me burn that witch?
The Vestrad. His contracts cannot break them.
What?
She would not produce
what
her contract.
What deal with the devil have you ever heard of that was ever fair? Obviously the parents were tricked. But they signed a deal, and apparently that is binding here.
I'm distrustful of any parent or any other person who would sign give up another.
Children?
Listen to me. Please.
No man's life.
Lorne Marcus,
it
please.
Belongs to anyone else's.
His booze breath is still there, but the man looks very tired. The devil worms his way into your soul this way. The things that you do, you feel that must be right, are not always the same as here. He seeks people. He seeks people who would bring justice. He seeks out innocents like you, people who would seek to the truth and order. And he worms his way into you. He changes you. The devil's contract cannot be broken save by the devil himself. To break that contract would be to provoke his ire.
So the child still must go to this bone crusher.
He looks toward the house and looks toward where the woman fled. I will not interfere. I shouldn't have even done this.
Very well. Thank you for advising us.
So life can be set into a contract here. Slavery.
Call it what you will, but
people are desperate here in Barovia. They would sell their own children to live another day.
Well, she...
So we've seen that.
She agreed to the same contract. I asked her what the contract was.
You may argue that with her, Benedict, he demands.
No person belongs to another person. There's no contract that lets you give them to give that which does not belong to you.
I agree. This is not our land, though. We will let this slide. It is your land. You are the lord.
It is not my land, he says. I am no lord by say for extension of the fact that my sister sits in Ravenloft, he says. I'm no more a lord than you are a king.
Well, my lord, I am not a king.
I am no lord, and this is not my land.
You have a title.
It's clear that...
The lord protects his people, though.
I am no lord, I have told you this, he says.
I believe we should check on the child. For if his parents truly are dead, then he is in a house alone.
Nobody seems to want to help here, so...
Lucian's... We have seen Lucian while his parents have been gone. I did not think that she would come to collect him. It is fortunate that you are here, yes, but... You must be wary. Taking a life of one of the devil's servants, you would provoke greater disaster. She is not the only one at the Bone Grinder. There are many others like her throughout Barovia.
But
Covens,
if
we call them.
If Strahd is gone, then aren't his laws gone with him?
Look to the mist, my friend. He puts his hand on your shoulder. The devil is not gone.
What is this Bone Grinder? Let's cut to the chase here. What is this hideous fiend, and what purpose does it serve?
The Bone Grinder is a windmill where in other times, perhaps when the land was more fertile to the north, they would turn to wheat into flour, to bacon or breads and pastries. But now, Morgantha and the other witches that are there, they grind the bones of children. They grind the bones of those who would attempt to appease the devil, to find safety, to find a morsel of food, to escape death or whatever terrible fate awaits them. And in exchange, these selfish people turn even their own children toward the witches, the Bone Grinder.
Well, I know where we come from. Windmills can be burned, and I have no contract with this fucking windmill. What do you say?
I say we burn it. I say we burn anything that takes children and enslaves them. And I don't care.
People.
Strahd can curse me for the rest of my days. If I save one child, it's worth that.
There are other children...
The steward's hammer will come down upon the Bone Grinders.
Well, there are children there now.
He nods.
So this is commonplace.
I'd imagine a great deal of children, those who have not been... Those who have come of age, at least. Those who come of age are... Well, you know.
I am a pragmatist, but you are giving me scenarios in which even I cannot... willfully ignore, and that usually involves grinding the bones of children into dust. There are limits here.
I know where this windmill is.
But
so do we.
That is not even near my threshold. The steward's hammer will burn this place.
You don't know where the windmill is.
Trust me, it's far south of Alakim.
It's not here. South? As I hold up the map.
Have you ever wandered the mist alone? You've only been here for 2 days.
We know nothing.
We only wandered it yesterday. So, no. I'm asking to confirm, is it not here? Mm. As I point to the map.
He looks at it and says, this map is meaningless to me.
Ah, okay.
The mists shift things.
Do go on.
The land moves.
So it changes. As I said, on a good day. So on a good day, how long will it take to get to the bone grinder?
We will need to go from here to the gallows beyond the Sir Pool, menacingly close to Castle Ravenloft, but if we head due west, we will find it beyond the woods. I can take you there. But if we go, night will inevitably fall upon us. Are you sure that you want to do this? He looks toward Dr. Wolf.
Absolutely not, but our alternatives are to sit here and wait to die. And as of right now,
children are dying.
We can find better ways.
He sighs and simply says, let me get my doctor's bag. Carrying the shillelagh in hand, gonna drag it behind him, he turns around into the mist-filled streets of Barovia. Now you are six. And we'll stop here.
Hmm. 100
reward points, everybody.
Yay.
So, corruption. The roll is 7. Yes. So, that's an order rank for you.
Yeah.
All right. So, we will continue with episode 7 and 8 in the next couple weeks. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Yeah.
Join us next time for Curse of Strahd, Tatiana's Revenge, a Dungeons & Dragons adventure using this White Intergroup Parallel System. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Hey, thank you.
Bye, Bobble. Bye, Bobble.